It's Here and Now. Ah, the ice cream truck, playing the siren song of childhood, a repetitive jingle that may throw kids' parents back in time as well. But it turns out this ice cream truck jingle in particular goes back a lot further and has its roots in one of the most virulently racist songs in American history. A warning, we're going to have to use some offensive racist language to tell this story, but we want to tell it with Ted Johnson, a writer and naval officer who's studying for his doctorate in public policy at Northeastern University, and wrote about the roots of this ice cream truck jingle for NPR's Code Switch. Ted, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So where were you doing research that you came across the real origins of this song?
So I was preparing to post an article on TED Talks, and it was about how Americans view food and how it ties to our culture. Naturally, as a black man, the watermelon stereotype immediately popped in my head. And the more I dug around on it, the more I found. And this song that's called Nigger Love a Watermelon popped up on my screen. And as soon as I took a listen to it, I recognized the tune and realized that this story is one that needed to be told.
Well, now, let's be clear. And again, we know this language is very offensive, but that's the point.
Right,
and so,
right.
You know, we need to talk about it. But the tune also seems familiar in another form, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. So this song has been around forever. Never mind the lyrics, just the tune itself. The English use it, the Scots, the Irish, and they brought it over in the 18th century when the big Scots-Irish immigration happened across the Atlantic. And they populated the Appalachian Trail and brought this tune with them as just a tradition, part of their folk music.
And we know it as Turkey in the Straw.
That's correct. So originally it was the old rose tree. And eventually it became Turkey in the Straw once the immigrants settled in the Appalachian Trail and started an agricultural life. They added lyrics talking about farm life and literally turkeys in the straw.
Well, but then who co-opted it for a racist song?
Right. So after the old rose tree took hold here in America, because the tune was pretty catchy, easy to adapt to whatever the topic is that you most like and add lyrics to, the blackface minstrel show movement, which started in the very early 19th century, grabbed the tune and gave it new lyrics that were vehemently racist, and they titled it Zip Coon. The coon being as in the slur that was given to many African Americans that were then slaves. And what Zip Coon was, it was a song about a black man, free man, who dressed in high white society clothes and spoke with the same diction, but horribly mispronounced. And they used that character as a way to poke fun at black people, essentially. That was in the late 1820s. And that version of the song, the old rose tree melody with the turkey in the straw fiddle banjo, subtract the turkey in the straw lyrics, add racism, you have Zip Coon. It spread like wildfire. In fact, by the time Andrew Jackson became president, it was the most popular song in the country.
And really?
Absolutely. For the entire time of his presidency, you know, never mind that he was also a Scots-Irish immigrant from the Appalachian Trail, but it was a very popular tune, and the minstrel show sort of took off during that time frame.
Well, then it had even another life.
It did. So Zip Coon was very racist. In fact, one of the lyrics in the old Zip Coon song was about the most laughable line in the entire five verses was about him becoming president. Now, can you imagine anything more hilarious than a black president? Right. And so seven, eight years ago from today, that was probably still a notion that people weren't very comfortable with. Yet here we are. So
yeah.
We go through the Civil War. We get to the end of into the Reconstruction period and then into the 20th century. And the blackface minstrel movement is still going strong. The Zip Coon character is no longer a free man, but now the free urbanite, the black person that's been freed, moved to the city. And his counterpart is the dumb rural character, which we call Jim Crow, which should also ring bells. So Zip Coon and Jim Crow are very popular characters, and the stereotypes are starting to pick up, and the infatuation with black people and watermelon and black people and laziness start to take hold. And all of those things come together, and what you get is Nigger Love a Watermelon in March of 1916.
And how did it get from the 1916 stage to ice cream trucks in the country?
In the late 19th century, people weren't very mobile, right? So they lived very close together, and the ice cream parlor was sort of the Sunday treat or, you know, something that families would do together. There were music boxes in those ice cream parlors, and many of those boxes played the current popular songs of the day. So they played things like Turkey in the Straw, but the version that was most popular during that time in the country was the Zip Coon version. A lot of folks would like to think that, wait, it's just Turkey in the Straw, and we can't help it that there were racist lyrics thrown on it. But these ice cream parlors also played Camptown Races, which is from the blackface minstrel era. It also played Oh Susanna and Dixie, also blackface songs. Jimmy Crack Corn, also a blackface song. So there is just no separating the ice cream parlor and the popular songs of the late 19th century with the music that they decided to put on the ice cream trucks intentionally to evoke the same sort of family experience that folks had in the ice cream parlors before. Yeah. So those music boxes took the songs out to the public in now suburban America post-World War II with the automobile and the suburban sprawl. And that's how we end up with blackface on our ice cream trucks.
So what do we do with that information? If there's still an ice cream truck playing Turkey in the Straw, do we tell everyone, do we tell these children that are running to it? Do we just have it serve as a reminder how far we've come? What do we do with this information?
Yeah, so I think the number one thing is just to have an appreciation for the history of the country. And to realize that even those things we see as innocuous, they have a history, and it's important to learn the history. You know, it's funny, the title of the article began with a question, recall the ice cream truck song? And a lot of readers took that as recall the ice cream truck song, as if we were, you know, we were advocating for stop playing the song. It's racist. It's based on this watermelon song with this foul-mouthed man. And that's not it at all. We just want people to remember the song and hear something about it you may not know. There's tons of issues in our country today that have a racist component to them, and not because it's currently malicious, but because its history was founded at a time when the social norms were a little bit different. So the first thing we can do is recognize that it exists and have an appreciation for how far the country has come from.
Yeah. What has been the reaction?
A lot of folks read the article and say, you guys are stretching here. You know, you're trying to find racism where it doesn't exist. You're trying to dig up old graves and rehash old problems and re-scar yourselves for the sake of clicks on an article. And that's not it at all. From my background, let me tell you, I grew up upper middle class. And what that meant to me was I grew up around white people, and the moniker I was given by other black people was Oreo. You know, yeah. I was black on the outside, white on the inside. And so this adaptation of food to convey some sort of racial meaning, it isn't new. The watermelon stereotype is how this all came about. I mean, we're talking about an ice cream truck here. I don't know if you've ever seen a Brazil nut, but they've got a very particular look that in the South, we grew up calling them N-word toes. And so this kind of thing isn't new, of finding racism in places where it's existed but has sort of fallen out of
usage.
Yeah, usage, right. So this isn't about digging up old scars. This is about seeing racism where it's sort of in the nooks and crannies of everyday life, and then just having an appreciation for the fact that it's there. There's a reason that it's there, and then trying to uncover little bits of Americana as a way of enlightening folks.
That's Ted Johnson. Again, he's getting his doctorate in public policy at Northeastern University, but meanwhile, poked around and found a really interesting slice of American history. We'll link you to his article for NPR's Code Switch at hereandnow.org. Ted, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Summertime, and the living is easy.
You never know what you are going to learn. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.
Your dad is rich, and your ma is good looking. So hush, little baby. Don't you cry.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art with A World of Glass, claymation videos set to hypnotic music by artists Natalie Jurberg and Hans Berg, ICABoston.org.